Good morning, and welcome to this episode of the Under the Helmet Podcast. Last week, we had our guests on to talk about the Carolina Predators Triad Outsiders game that was going to take place. Well, it took place, and the Predators shut out the Outsiders 19-0. To discuss everything, we have quarterback Darius Thomas, offensive coordinator and owner Derek Abney, head coach and owner Bayo Essen. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Coach Essen, to you. First question. When you are thinking about the game plan you wanted to establish versus the Outsiders, you succeeded with the run game. Like, I had never anticipated that your offensive line and your running backs were able to just gash them up the middle for so many yards, including a couple long touchdowns. What did you see that gave you the inclination that you were going to win up front and be able to get downhill easily with speed?
The offensive coordinator, Derek Abney, and the entire offense and the rest of the coaches, and they came in with a hell of a game plan. And it wasn't necessarily about what the Outsiders gave us in order to run the ball. We determined that we was going to run the ball. It wasn't about if they had, if they spread it out and gave us the run. We were determined to run the ball. We have four great running backs. And it was all about we were going to do what we have to do to run this ball. Our line, our offensive line, were determined also to make a statement that game and run that ball. So, I mean, I believe it was just that determination and that will to and that will to want to run the ball. So it wasn't about what the Outsiders gave us, I don't believe. Of course, the game plan in itself, yes, it came to play, but we definitely determined that we were going to run the ball no matter what.
Now, Coach Abney, to piggyback off that point, it seemed as though from the first snap up until the last snap, the Predators were bound and determined to figuratively punch the Outsiders in the mouth as far as running the ball right at them. Nothing fancy. We're going to line up our best against your best and try to assert your authority. At what point early on did you know that there's a good chance that your strategy would work in this game?
Well, I felt that, like Coach Bale said, is determination of our team. And it's all about unfinished business, basically. Last year, we felt that, we failed at establishing our identity, which is to run the ball and then pass when we want to. This year, our O-line going into this game, we added some key pieces. And the whole thing was, all last week was, put it on our shoulders, Coach, we got you. Our quarterback was like, Coach, we can trust them, let's do it. And it wasn't anything about not trusting them. It was looking in their eyes, and they owned up to the challenge of, we will get it done. Whether we throw the ball or whether we run the ball, we will get it done. And as the game unfolded, it was very obvious that up front our guys were determined to establish the line of scrimmage. I mean, that was a hell of a defense. Them guys made plays. They got some studs over there, and they came to play. But our guys seemed to want it a little bit more this particular game.
Now, Darius, as a quarterback, and being able to stand behind a very stout, extremely motivated offensive line, what does that do, and what did that do as far as Saturday, being able to sit there and have a little time, a little more time, and being able to go through the game plan so effectively?
It does everything to my confidence. It allows me to control the game a lot more, to where I don't have to force things. And sometimes when the play may break down, to throw the ball away, or knowing it's okay to take a sack, to not turn the ball over. Like, my whole game plan, as far as, well, offensively, definitely was to dominate and run the ball. But my self game plan was not to turn the ball over. So being behind that offensive line and running the ball behind those guys, it did everything for my confidence. So it made everything that much easier. And then the guys that I was handing the ball off to, it was just, it made my job a lot more easy. And I'm so, so much appreciative for that.
Now, Coach Essen, if we take a quick trip defensively, you shut down a very good offense with just sound defense and just the ability to, once you got the lead, you pinned your ears back and they had to pass and you just turned the front loose. When you see the Predators being able to win up front on the defensive side of the ball, what was the key point in the game you knew, like, you had it? Like, okay, we have this going, and let's just kind of end this game now. What point did you realize that you were in control?
When we got down, one of the things I look at this team, and one of the things that I myself, as a head coach, gave this team is when we're hit with adversity, when there's a turnover and we're down deep in our on the goal line, the team is about to score. Are we going to bend or are we going to break? You know, and when the defense, the first couple of drives for the outsiders were able to hold them, and they bended a little, but they never broke. When those first couple of drives and the defense bending it but never broke, that was the point that I said, okay, this defense is going to be big tonight. You know, our defensive line is a stout D line. I would put them up against any offensive line in the league or in the area. And then just our secondary, we're so much faster this year on the back end that, you know, I wasn't too worried about, too much of the passes, especially with the pressure that our D line was given. I mean, Chris McNair, the defensive coordinator, great defensive coordinator, probably the best out here right now. And, I mean, he came in with a great game plan that was second to none. And, I mean, I give him and Coach Moore, the D-line coach, all the credit.
Now, Coach Abney, when you look at – you can tell by just me just watching the video that when the defense – because – outsiders did have a couple of shots in the red zone, but they came away with no points. When you see that momentum shift, you can pretty much feel the energy that that gave your offense. What did that feel like knowing that your defense shut them down and gave you the ball back?
Going back, I have to piggyback off Coach Bell again. Coach McNair is one of the best defense coordinators at this level in the country. You know, we'll put him up against anybody defensive mind. And one of the things he said before the season even started, and I posted it on my Facebook page, if you can't score, you can't win. And he felt slighted because some of the other teams in the area, you know, were hyping up their defensive coordinators. And he has been away. But now that he's back in the area, he can spend that much more time with our guys. You know, he's determined to put his fingerprints on this defense. And going into the game, pregame, he looked at me and he was like, relax, we got you. They will not score tonight. Like, he said that before the game. They will not score. So going into the game, I was comfortable. It was just like, call our game. We do our job. You know, offense is supposed to sell tickets. Defense wins championships. And when your defensive coordinator looks at you and say, don't worry about it, they're not going to score. I don't care who they are. It makes it easier to call the game and for us to get into our flow to establish what we want to do, to make it easier and you know, give our defense a rest, sustain drives, so they get back on the field and get us the ball back so that we can get points on the board. And that's what happened.
Now,
right
before we go to commercial, I want to talk to Darius about, it's funny, like, after we spoke the first time, did some research and talked to a few people in and around your league and just in semi-pro in general. You apparently hold a few records at Winston-Salem State, but yet you never spoke to your prolific college career. Is that humble mindset the trademark and the hallmark of what the Predators do offensively? Just kind of go out and execute and don't worry about talking about what you can and cannot do?
I think you got me mixed up with the outsiders quarterback. That's my that's my brother, Dominique Fitzgerald. Like, he played at Winston Salem State, and he holds some good records there. The quarterback for the outsiders, Dominique Fitzgerald. So,
I guess to switch that question and kind of spin off of it. Even so, you are an accomplished quarterback who never really talks about how good they are, and the Predators as a team never really spoke to what they can do. They just show up and execute. Does that humility, like, is that common through that team? Because it seems as though you just go execute and you win. How does surrounding yourself with so many humble people help the product?
That's the key. Like, I want to be around guys that on the same page as myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so many great ball players, but how many of them are humble? How many of them are coachable? How many of them are actual leaders? Like, you got a lot of great ball players that are selfish. Those guys I don't want to be around. It's easy with the Predators. Like, we got some of the best running backs in the country, on the East Coast at least, bare minimum East Coast. Neither one of those guys are selfish. Neither one of those guys are me, or I type guys. We all try to focus on team. Like I told the team last week, we had played against the Hornets or whatever. Like, we don't care nothing about personal stats. All we want to do is win. We got one goal, one mission. It don't matter if this man scores 6 touchdowns, this man gets 0 carries, 1 carry. We trying to count the stats. Like, what did you do to help your team win? Not how many yards you got rushing, or how many catches, or how many tackles you got. What did you do to help your team win? How did you take on that double team? So all that goes into play. It starts from the top, though. It's not just with the players. Like, we got humble coaches. Like, granted, we want to take the heart of whoever we playing against, but it starts from the top. It's not just with the players at all. So it's real easy playing here with the Predators, man. I'm like, the guys that I got, man, it's a few guys I wouldn't trade them for nobody, man. Like, Jamal Tillman, our running back number 8, he might be the most humblest person ever. Yeah. And just to be beside him, it's like, how could you even want to be selfish or want to be so worried about you when this guy is displaying everything in a ultimate teammate that you want? So it's just helpful, man, just to see everybody around me humble the same way, man. It's easy. It makes so much everything easy.
Now, when we come back from break, I want to delve more into the teammates we should know and preview upcoming game. That's after this break. You're listening to the Under Helmet Podcast on the Full Press Coverage Radio Network. We are back with Under Helmet Podcast. Terrence Biggs, members of the Carolina Predators, fresh off their shutout of the Triumph Outsiders. Now, Coach Essen, as someone who has been around semi-pro and someone who's been around the sport a while, what do you think a team like the Predators don't receive the acclaim or press or attention that you should? Is that more of lack of quality media outlets, or because your organization handles business on the field rather in social media? Do you think there should be some kind of a balance between the two?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely believe, as far as within semi-pro, people know of the Predators. We've played in Nationals the last 3 years down there in Florida, and people know the Predators' name within the East Coast. Right now, the biggest thing, and we're working to have a footprint here within Charlotte, you know, a bigger footprint in Charlotte, to where, you know, everyone knows who the Predators is. And that's one of our biggest focus is to have that bigger footprint. I mean, social media, within social media itself, you can only post flyers and things and so much, you know, but we got to definitely, you know, we are definitely going to do our due diligence to get within the community and just get everyone around, especially the Charlotte area, to know who the Predators is and get them involved in Predators football. I believe that, I mean, the community itself, we owe that to them. You know, I mean, the small numbers that we do have in these semi-pro names, they come out and when they come out, they definitely support us. They come in to support all these gentlemen that's on the team. Even the coaches, the people are coming out to support the coaches as well. So, I mean, if nothing, the Predators owe it to the Charlotte community to instill our base and our footprint within the community itself.
Now, Coach Adam, off of that point, the Predators, like I said, they execute sharply. Given your, as we talked about before, your military background, your expectations, does that guide them into making sure that there's less nonsense and more six-footedness as far as attention to detail?
Sometimes it does, but, you know, the guys we have are serious about their craft. So it's very easy to say, okay, we need to do this, or we need to have this route or this steps. Like, I really don't have to say a whole lot to them. You know, Darius, he does a great job about it, of accountability with his teammates. And you know, with Tillman and even Jaquith, Austin Pocket, you know, those guys have been very vocal about we need to do this right, we need to do this right. And even our O-linemen, you know, they holding themselves accountable. So it's kind of a group effort. So, you know, it's less of a military thing, more of a collective thing. You know, it's, you know, I bring to them, you know, this is the identity I think that we should do. You know, this is how we should attack, how we should be balanced. And those guys look, they put in, and they look at what we have, and, you know, they put it on themselves to get it done.
Now,
this is truly a different mindset we have this year.
Now, one of the things I saw here is on the film was you have a repeatable motion. That means when you go back to throw, even when you – it's consistent, and it's – I'm not sure if it's muscle memory or training or drilling, but it's – it repeats every time. It looks same very much from first snap to last. How much have you worked on making sure you have the final points of the game back?
Man, I love every – like I was telling you on the last podcast, I love everything about being a quarterback. So I know how much responsibility comes with being a quarterback. I know how much work you have to put into it. I've been playing quarterback almost all my life. So, like, practice and getting that repetition in, is just – it make it muscle memory. It's not something that you can just – like, people think just because it's semi-pro that you can come off the couch and do it. Like, when we have – I got other guys around me that's constantly working on their craft. If they're not doing field drills, they're in the weight room. They're not in the weight room. They're doing Zoom meetings. They're watching film. So it made me want to do the same thing. So it's easy. So as far as that same constant throwing motion, like, only my teammates know it, but, like, I had got injured during the game. I had messed up my ribs again, but because of my team, like, I just couldn't come out of the game, like, no matter what. So I didn't want to give up on them, just like they wouldn't give up on me. Like Coach Abney was saying, it's a collective group. It's not certain guys individually, you know. So with throwing motion and everything that's going on, man, I just put in the same work that my team put in. That's all. I'm not doing nothing spectacular or nothing crazy. My team putting in work, I'm putting in work. My team watching film, I'm going to watch film. My team talking about doing this and doing that, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm not going to be the eyeball and try to change it up or anything like that just because I'm the quarterback. I want to do exactly what the team doing, exactly what the coaches are telling us. Like, we have game plans. We have Zoom meetings. We have practice. So all I do is reiterate what the coaches give to us, I reiterate it to the players. And all the players are acceptable. Like, we want to be the number one team in the nation. So there's no way we can do that by being selfish or just worrying about self. So that's my whole goal, my whole plan.
Now, Coach Essen, how long did you celebrate this victory before you turned the page and you realized that the trip to Snellville is on the schedule?
Oh, for myself, it was the game was Saturday, Sunday, it's over with. We already, my mindset is already on the North Atlanta Kings. And it's kind of difficult to try to game plan as much as you usually do for a team that you're really not familiar with. And also, it's, I believe it's a new organization. So, anyway, it was really overnight. After the game, came home, relaxed. I even, what was it, Sunday? Sunday was the day that I rewatched the game, and after I watched that game yesterday, it was, I mean, we on Snellville for the North Atlanta Kings.
Now, Coach Adley, second question to you. I know that your offense executed, you were able to run the ball effectively. How long did you savor the win before you turned the page and kind of focused on the Kings and that long trip to Snellville?
Real similar. Like, I sent a message to the guys Saturday night, you know, enjoy the win tonight, tomorrow, you know, Monday, we're back on to the next game. I mean, for us, every week is not about, it's less really about the opponent and more about us going 1-0 every week. So even though it was a rivalry game and it was more emotional playing the outsiders, this particular game Saturday was more about us completing our weekly mission, going 1-0. You have Bragg and White, but like we learned last year, like we beat them in the regular season. We were 10-0 in regular season and came up short in the playoffs. We won't lose focus this year. Like, it's one week at a time, one game at a time. And we actually learned a lot from them playing them last year, where you don't get too high, you don't get too low. It's one game every week, and that's our focus. You know, we're on to Atlanta this week. They're the number one team in the nation as far as we can sign.
Now, last question for Darius. Does that playoff loss still burn in your mind, or have you shelved it and kind of said, you know what, it won't happen again, we need to kind of focus, we can kind of get this right?
Honestly, it still kind of sit with me, because that playoff loss, it did everything to taint our perfect season. But being that it's on to the new season and on to a bigger goal than last year, like, I'm on to something new. I use it as motivation, but I don't just sit back and dwell on it and think like, man, if I could have did this or I could have did that. It's in the past. I let the past be the past. And just to piggyback off of what Coach Abney said, like, our goal every week is just to go 1-0. Like, I don't know if you real detail into track, Mr. Big, like a 100-meter racer, like the guy who finished first, he's not worried about who's running beside him or who's doing this, who's doing that. Like, it's the guy that's in second place and third place. They looking around and trying to figure out, like, what can I get in it? Like, winners focus on winning. Losers focus on winners, on their opponents. Oh, we got to worry about this person. We got to worry about that. Winners focus on winning, just like our offense. Like, granted, with the outsiders having a great defense, we're going to do what we do as winners, no matter what. We're going to focus on what we do as a team. We're going to try to get the best out of that. Let the other guys or the other team focus on trying to stop what we do. Like, we're not going to change up anything or none of that. So, just to get back on your question, I just use last year playoff loss as motivation purposes on. I don't speak on it anymore. I don't put it in other people's heads or none of that. It's just whenever I'm on the football field, I use it for motivational reasons. Whenever I'm at home doing push-ups or sit-ups or curls, whatever, I use it for those reasons like that. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. That's gone. It's in the past.
Now, before we get out of here, I want to wish you all the best as far as doing that trip to Snellville. A safe trip and a great game. Trust me, we will definitely be having this talk next Monday morning. Coach Essen, Coach Abney, Darius, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Under the Helmet Podcast.
We appreciate it.
This has been another episode of the podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.